I wouldn't count Georgia's because Mark Richt, I mean, this year, they played sloppy. I mean, name one game where they played, you know, a complete game and, you know, really beat a good team.
Tennessee was down, what, if I'm not mistaken, 24-3 in that game and went on a string where they blew that team out of their building. I think that's a pretty darn good win now. I think you're being a little rough on Tennessee's body of work. And then last week, I think it's a credible win. Despite what you and Jerry are saying, I think anytime you go into a place like Missouri, where you have had little success and you have success there, I take that.
I mean, it was a good win, but I mean, heck, there was like 40,000 people there. I mean, let's get real, Tony. I mean, the Missouri, I mean, no one was there. And, you know, it was Gary Pinkel's last home game and nobody showed up. And Kentucky is terrible. I mean, they've just gone off the deep end. Vandy's going to be Vandy. And really, I mean, we've owned Georgia in the past, you know, 10 or 15 years. So, I mean, Georgia, I want to beat Florida. And that's what the fan base wants. If we beat Florida this year, we're going to Atlanta. And you're telling me right now, the way we're playing, and I think we could beat Alabama next week. And that's just me. So, I think we lost the season. We could have had a season like Auburn had a couple years ago. But, you know, I think the coaching, you know, has to get better in these big games. I know he can beat these little, you know, cupcake teams because of the talent we have. But when we get in those situations, we have to have the correct amount of coaching to win these big games. And I think Jerry would agree with me on that.
Yeah, Tony, I'm going to do like, was it Jack?
Yes, sir.
Call his name?
Yes.
Yes, yeah, I'm going to say like Jack said, Tony, you got to keep it real. And I think that is probably, and unfortunately, I mean, it's a big, big hurdle. To me, it's not one of those things where, oh man, you know, you're just missing a player too. You know, if we just had a back or we just had a quarterback, I mean, this has been the going story, I feel like, with this Butch Jones staff, especially offensively. You know, what do they do now that, you know, they're not without, certain types of guys? So, right now, I think they've amassed so much talent, you know, to where, yeah, you can go out against Alabama. You can go out there against Florida, Georgia, Oklahoma, anybody you throw on that schedule nationally at this point. And make a game, but our offensive coaching staff, they've got to be better. You know, I hope they're listening. You know, if you work in a recruiting office, you go in there and show Butch Jones guys who are in JUCO, that don't need a whole lot of time, you know, to get ready and develop physically and, get you a blocking tight end who can also go out there and, catch passes. Also get you a blocking fullback while you got this beast on campus, because next year is probably going to be his last year if he gets out of there healthy. So, you know, if they're going to make a serious run, between the coaching, offensively, just schematically, and, you know, being different and getting you some tight ends that can bring a physical element, to this offensive team and get you a fullback, somebody, you know, who'd be glad to come out of JUCO, get a scholarship at the University of Tennessee and block for one of the best backs in the country. So, unfortunately, like the caller said, that hurdle, that's not a small hurdle for this offensive staff. It really is a big one.
Jerry, these guys aren't going to change who they are. I mean, why do you keep doing that?
Well, I don't necessarily disagree. I'm just saying, in order for them to take the next step, like again, you know, with this type of schedule, with in college right now, with the
who's the fullback at Ohio State? They won the national championship playing that offense.
Tony, they got all first.
Well, I'm just saying, who was the blocking fullback at Auburn when they won the national championship playing the spread, guys?
Philip Lutzenkirchen.
They had one.
That's they did have Lutzenkirchen. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead, call Jack.
I mean, you got, and then Alabama had guys like, that guy, Fowler. He plays for Tennessee Titans. You know who I'm talking about, Jerry?
Yep.
He was a great fullback for, Alabama. Very underrated player they had there for years that did a lot of the dirty work that led them, you know, through tons of games, you know, made some key first downs, key blocks. And, you know, I think if we could have, you know, a guy that could pick up those, you know, 3-yard flat routes, you know, have some good blocking per Hurd and Kamara, you know, then I think we could just be, you know, that's an extra, another dimension we can, you know, add to our offense that could just be a deadly weapon to use.
Anything else for us?
Like,
oh, well, I'm speechless because Notre Dame just took a 36-35 lead on Stanford.
Tony, I just thank you for being there as always.
Thank you, brother.
And you and Jerry, you know, can't wait till basketball season. I know we had a tough one today, but, you know, I think basketball's going to be an exciting year,
mm-hmm.
you know, even though we're, you know, lacking a little bit of talent. So, I'll thank you for being there, Tony. Appreciate
thank you.
It
is going to be fun. I agree with that. As Jerry Colquitt joins, if you want to get in with us tonight, 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. Boy, this is going to be really, really interesting. And if you want to jump in, I've just been told by Pensacola Vol fan, Jerry, that I've allowed you to ruin the show, and there aren't any callers, so I have to say that he might be right. So if you want to get in with us, 865-200-5402. I told him, Jerry, that he needed to move to Missouri and become a Missouri football player because there, what you do when you disagree with somebody is you try to get them off something. You try to get them fired or silence their voice. You know, to me, I think we can have disagreements. I don't call for running somebody off because I disagree with them. I say, let's have a conversation about it. And, I just told you guys that I'll disagree with you. But at the same time, I say that, boy, when I watch Jalen Hurd run, Jerry, that is a cat right there that finishes runs, right?
Oh, yeah. I was listening to you guys earlier, and I agree with the general assessment of just his overall abilities, but I would disagree from this standpoint. I think Jalen Hurd is a much better athlete than Eddie George. To me, Eddie George
was
stiff as a board.
Wow.
And he was just so powerful in his legs. You know, that made him just such a physical player. But to me, Jalen Hurd is somewhere in between. He'd be an great eye back if that's what they chose to do. And he's an okay one back runner. To me, if you try to put Eddie George as a one back runner, I don't think he could do it. I don't think he could also come out, of the backfield and catch all the passes that Jalen Hurd did as well. You gotta remember, go back to when Jalen Hurd, was coming out, high school. You know, people didn't know if he was going to play free safety or running back. I mean, the guy has natural ball skills as a center fielder back there at free safety. So to me, when I watch Jalen Hurd run, he's far more fluid than what Eddie George was.
He is really great. And if he stays off 4 years, he'll walk out of here with records that'll stand for a long, long time. Let's go back to our phones. 865-200-5402. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome on your Smart Way Dalton Bearing Hydraulic. Fifth quarter fan reaction.
What's up, Tony B? What's up, Jerry?
It's hey, welcome up. In.
How you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for asking. I hope you guys had a blessed and a happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, it's great. Thanks.
Oh, man, it was off the chain. I loved it.
Yeah, ate too much, I hope. Tonight has been one of the best nights of college football I've seen in, it seems like, forever. Because there's so much in play tonight. And I know everybody's wanting to talk about Tennessee, but truthfully, our season's not a bust, but it's just kind of what it was. I'm not unhappy with it, but I'm not ecstatic or over the moon. And I'm sitting here watching two or three teams get ready to go play for a freaking national championship, guys. So I got to feel good about where Tennessee's at. I just have to put myself in Oklahoma. Because make no doubt, Oklahoma made a damn statement tonight. They are beating Oklahoma State's eyes shut. They scored 44 points.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible in the first half. I mean, they basically told 40 boy, who I think he's closing in on 50 now.
Hey, he's closing in on 43 or 4, maybe 5.
They told 40 boy, you're going to get yourself some of this tonight. And they big played him to death, man, with Joe Mixon and P. Ryan. And you had Mayfield out there on one of the runs throwing a tremendous block. Yep. And come on, man.
And Alabama looked good today, I thought.
Alabama.
Auburn played them off their feet.
They sure did.
Was good.
Great day of college football, man. I agree with that.
And to watch Tennessee hang a steady spot on Vanderbilt. One thing I don't think I've heard anyone say tonight is how classless Vanderbilt was before the game. Running out while the seniors were running through the tee the last time. What the hell is that? What the hell is that?
Say that again now.
Vanderbilt took the field while Tennessee seniors were going through the tee and getting recognized. Did you not hear about this?
No, I wasn't there. No, uh-uh.
That's almost as classless as them going down to, you remember when they blocked our end zone when we were trying to come on?
No, those were great days. Those were great days. The Jerry DiNardo days. Jerry, you were over there then, weren't they? Weren't you there when Jerry DiNardo tried to block our entrance?
Yeah.
I remember Carl Pickens jumping up on the side of the thing and jumping on some dude.
Yes.
That was all time. That was all time.
And Tennessee proceeded to whip their ass and make them like it.
Which
love
is why
it.
I think we
and
put
want
it
some
on
more
today.
A bit.
Hey, Tony, that's why I think we put it on them today. I don't think Butch really appreciated that very much. Because Butch isn't one to step on somebody's throat and just split it right there and end it. Tennessee just hammered the hell out of them today. Tennessee could have hung 80 if they wanted to. And they would have if they left Dobbs in. So I'm pleased with where we're at as a program. I really feel like this could have been something special. And for like my Cubs this year, my Cubs did something we haven't done in a long time, that show up in the playoffs. We got beat bad by the Mets. But Tennessee just fell short just like that. It's like you had something really special in front of you. I mean, think about this. We played the number 6. Or I guess they're number 11 now, but the number 11, the number 2, and the number 3 team in the country, absolutely off their feet. And truthfully, we're better than them for 3.5 quarters in every game. So I'm excited with the direction of the program. Here's my question to you guys. If Les Miles is fired tomorrow, and Butch Jones, I know Justin Fuente is going to Virginia Tech, but let's say Butch Jones even acts like he's going to go somewhere else. If I'm Dave Hart, if you're Dave Hart, I want to hear what you have to say. But if I'm Dave Hart, I say, well, you know, here's your marching papers. Best of luck. We're going to get Les Miles. What do you guys think about that? Truthfully, I really mean that. Have a good one.
I'm not going to entertain that because, for one thing, it's not going to happen. And for another thing, I got to take another call. 865-200-5402. By the way, Stanford, on a 47-yard field goal, closing the action with time expiring, beats Notre Dame. Stanford drives the spike into Notre Dame Nation.
Yes!
Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hello?
Yes, go right ahead.
Hey, this is Big Willie T.
Hey, what's up, man?
Bastilio, I'm going to tell you, I'm from Virginia. And I'm a Tennessee fan through and through now. I've been listening to you, and you're a legend. I've heard nothing but good about you, sir. And I'm going to say tonight is about positivity. We had a good win, and I love it. I love it.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt that anytime you look the way Tennessee did tonight and you beat a team like that in that manner and you win 5 straight games closing a season, how can you not feel great about,
for sure,
2016 going forward?
For sure, because I'm going to tell you, I mean, those losses we had earlier in the season, the losses, but give Butch Jones credit. I mean, I understand the bad late game decisions. I understand that. I understand that we have some bad stuff going on, but at the end of the day, come on. We are on the rise. And I know it's a cliche here in Tennessee, next year's the year, and blah, 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 but I'm telling you, I have a feeling that this year, the way we ended, the grit and guts, and with Dobbs playing the way he's playing, we got a gritty, gutty team, and we gotta stand behind Tennessee next year, because I'm telling you, next year is the year.
Can Dobbs become a better passer in the offseason, or is that just something that is what it is? Because if he gets just a little bit better, and I mean just a little bit, like a pinch, just a pinch better, man. Just a pinch. Just a pinch. Do you feel me in Virginia? Do you feel what I'm saying right now? Just a little bit.
Well, if he becomes a pinch better, and like Jerry Glanville said the other day when I was listening to you, let him throw it deep. I want to see Dobbs throw it deep. Because I'm telling you, the guy is 1 inch away, just like you said, just a pinch away from becoming a good passer, a great passer. I'm telling you, this guy Dobbs, I said it when he was on the bench a few years ago. You can ask multiple friends of mine. I said, put Dobbs in there. He's a playmaker. I'm telling you, Dobbs can become a great passer, a runner, playmaker. We got him. We got him. He just needs to develop a little bit more accuracy. A little bit. And we're good.
Do you, Jerry, have a thought on us throwing the ball long and why we don't do that a little more often?
Yeah. Again, you know, we talked earlier. What game was that, Tony? This may be mid... when I went on with Glanville during the week for that first time.
Alabama right game, around. Maybe? Alabama?
Alabama, yeah.
Yeah, that was when we did the two-part scouting report. Well, to me, I think part of it is, in fact, two things. One, they need to – when I see a guy who can have plenty of zip on short and intermediate throws, that to me tells me, one, he does have a live arm. When you can get out of your hands, you can throw that thing 15, 20 yards on a rope, and it gets there, boom, just like that. That means, to me, he has a live arm. Next thing, when I'm watching guys, that same guy, who then can't translate throwing a deep ball 40 to 50 yards downfield with air, you know, hitting someone in stride and he's struggling there, to me, that's a technique thing. They're not teaching him right. You know, guys who can throw that shorter intermediate pass with plenty of zip on it, they should have no problem throwing a nice deep ball that people can run under. So to me, there's something going on technique-wise that's not allowing him to throw a better deep ball. Second thing is, just from a schematic standpoint, they got to put the right personnel on there. I mean, you know, it's hard to get to a middle safety to where you can actually run a go route on the outside when you're playing 11 personnel the whole game. I'm a defense coordinator, and I see that you're playing 11 personnel, and you got Josh Smith out there, and you got the North kid. Then you got Jawan Jennings and, you know, all these guys, Von Pearson. I mean, I'm sorry, man. I'm playing cover two. You're not going to embarrass me and play cover three, you know, throw deep balls and hit balls down the seam. I'm not going to let you do that. So to me, they got to start learning, hey, the more tight ends we put on the field, the less wide receivers, the more single safety we're going to get, which the more opportunity you're going to get to throw some of those deep balls. So to me, I think it's they got to coach Josh Dobbs up physically.
Oh, yeah.
And the other part of it that is going to personnel groupings that will give them you know, the coverages that they want, so you can throw a deep ball. Otherwise, I mean, you know, cover two, you're just trying to hit the thing in the seam. That's not a high percentage pass at all.
No. But you coach Josh Jobs up a little bit. But here's the thing. here's the thing. We got to have our receivers to where they're looking for Josh Dobbs when he's on the run. Because obviously he's being pressured out of the pocket. So he's going on the run. And our receivers got to be able to recognize what he's doing while he's on the run, too. And I understand that the guy has missed some people completely overhead. But at the same time, like Tony said, if you coach him up a little bit, and I agree, we got to coach him up.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit, man.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit. TB, we coach Dobbs up a little bit. I'm telling you, he's an elite quarterback. And I'm not being a homer right now at all, for God's sake. I'm not being a homer at all. But I'm telling you, TB, I agree with you completely. And we coach him up a little bit. I dare say he's in Heisman candidacy right now. Are you kidding me? With some of the throws that he's made, you coach him up a little bit. He's in the Heisman talk.
A little bit. Just a little bit. If he could throw the ball just a little, I'm telling you this right now. If he throw the ball a little bit better, 2016 against that schedule, you talk about the sky being the limit for somebody. If you could just make him, you know, Butch Jones has this thing where he says like 1% better every day. If you could take Josh Dobbs and just make him a 10% better passer next year, just a little better passer. There's no telling how good he could be with his mind, his ability to move, and that great complement of wide receivers. Plus, when you consider the offensive backfield that's around him, and maybe, like I was asking Glanville yesterday, if we can just add a little wrinkle or two around the goal line, get bigger.
Yeah.
You know, like Jerry wants to use a fullback or a blocking tight end. Jerry, wasn't that beautiful tonight when they used Ellis on that sweep and they had that seal block for Hurd and he took that ball in for the fourth touchdown? Wasn't that beautiful, Jerry?
Yeah, that was a nice play. I like that. That was a nice effort by Ellis on that. I mean, you know, part of blocking inline, when I say inline, I mean, you know, attached to the tackle with your hand down in the dirt. I mean, part of that is being able to block someone of bigger size than you. That shows you're a nice physical player. Now, there aren't a lot of guys who can, at 240, 250 pounds, that can line up against someone who, you know, who's often sometimes 20 pounds, 30, you know, 40 pounds heavier, feel that in man on the line of scrimmage, get him controlled to where you can run those sweeps wide. So the fact that you saw that, you know, that's a big deal.
Thank you. Listen, I love your emotion. I love your enthusiasm. I love your fight, your determination. Just a little bit better, brother. And you and I, I'm telling you, 52 weeks from right now, we're talking about where we're going to be staying down in Atlanta. You feel me?
Hey, Tom, while we're on this call, you want to say something?
Yeah, go ahead.
I personally think that I don't know if Josh Dobbs has to make tremendous strides as a passer. To me, the gem that they found was, one, what you can do with him in the running game. So that would almost mean, you know, are you willing to take two steps back with him as a runner to try and develop him as a passer?
Why would you have to borrow one from the other when he already has that natural running ability? How are you compromising? I mean, to me, if you make him a better thrower, Jerry, then he becomes that much more dangerous with his legs, doesn't he?
He becomes a version
beast.
Cam Newton.
Exactly.
Cam Newton.
Exactly. Exactly.
He becomes great. I'm not playing with you. Oh my gosh.
Just a little. Hey, listen, man. Up there in Virginia. What's your name again?
Big Willie T is what we're going to say.
Just a little bit better, man. Just a little bit, man.
It's killing me because, listen, I was the biggest. You can ask anybody I know, Basilio. I was the biggest Dobbs supporter. When he came on, he was benched. Oh, man. I was saying, put Dobbs in, put him in, put him in, put him in. They put him in. We got playmaking ability. We in 8-4. We should really be one-loss team right now. A one-loss team. Maybe in the playoffs.
Playoffs.
Glanville gets in there and tells me, let's see Dobbs throw it down the field more than once every three games. And I'm shouting, and I'm your local FedEx guy, by the way. I'm your local FedEx guy at Tarquin Valley, and I'm listening to you every day. And I'm hearing Jerry Glanville say, I get to see Dobbs throw it downfield once every three games. Let's see him. Let's develop him in practice. Next year, we have an epic quarterback. We have a humongous running back who has a tenacity, a tenacious, ferocious attitude about him.
How do you stop us? Let me ask you this. Up here in Virginia. Willie T. If Dobbs gets just a little bit better, just a little bit, how do you stop us?
Oh, my God. You're kidding me. With Kamara and Herbert, oh, my God, the rushing potential that we have, and not alone. You set up the rush with the big pass. I mean, come on. Basilio, we're so close to being one of the top contenders. We coach him up, like you said earlier, just a little bit. A little bit in the
just
back.
A little bit, just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
I mean, you got Eric Dickerson back in your offensive backfield. See, Jerry remembers Eric Dickerson. That's who this guy reminds me of.
Oh, yeah.
And you guys got Shake and Wiggle. And then you got Kamara. You got Kamara who is, it's like thunder and lightning the way they're raining on you.
Yeah, we got a little Eddie George style back there, Jalen Hurts. Oh my God, Kamara, when he touches the ball, anytime Kamara touches the ball, I mean, are you kidding me? This guy Kamara, Alvin Kamara, is amazing. He's a playmaker. He reminds me of CP.
Hey, let me ask you something, Willie T. Where is it? What time is it where you are?
I'm in Tennessee.
So it's 11:11 where you are?
It's 11:11, sir.
All right. Jerry, what time is it where you are?
It's gotta be 8:11.
Jerry, why does it sound like it's 11:11 where you are and it sounds like it's 8:11 where Willie T is?
Willie T is off the chain right now.
Willie T's pumped! Don't get in Willie T's way! Damn it! Just a little bit better! Just a little bit, Willie T! Just a little bit!
Basilio, you're my man! I'm telling you, a little bit better! We're in the playoffs! We got a one-loss team! Maybe Arkansas! We coach them up a little bit better! Maybe Arkansas squeaks out a win like they did this year! But other than that, we're in the playoffs, son! Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me, Basilio?
I love you. Willie T, can I ask you something? Why does it sound like it's 8:11 in your house and it sounds like it's 11:11 at Jerry Colquitt's house? Why is that?
I don't know, Colquitt. I'm not sure what's going on.
Jerry, where's your intensity tonight?
Hey, all I know is if Willie T, I'm not sure where you are, but if you stay right there, let me get showered.
Hey, listen here, Colquitt.
Get a shower.
I'm in right down the street from the Hardee's. Right down here on McLeod Road.
Thank you, Willie T. Now that you've given out your coordinates, that's a little much for me, but we love you. Willie T sounds to me, Jerry, like he's kind of jacked up, if you know what I mean. Let's go back to our phones. 865.
I love that guy. Yeah. And to me, what would be nice, again, I think we're only going to have Jalen Hurd one more year.
Yes.
Why not send that guy out with a boom? I mean, make that kid a 1,500-yard rusher. Now, we get aggravated on how they do it, but, man, just give him the ball. Tony, I really believe right now we're sitting at 8 wins.
Yes.
If you make him a feature player.
Yes.
If you go in there and say, hey, man, offensive line coach, minimum yards this year, we're going to get 1,300, 1,400, 1,500 yards out of Jalen Hurd. and we're just going to make it happen. To me, you can have two more wins to that because these teams aren't going to be having the ball late with a chance to win and come back and take the lead when the game's over.
Plus,
game's over if you run Jalen Hurd like that.
Yeah, and if you run the ball on somebody, you break their will. We all know that. So let's go back to the phones. Just like LSU broke Texas A&M's will, just like Stanford tonight broke the will of Notre Dame, and it can happen. It can happen to you. Just like Ole Miss tonight, 38-27 over Mississippi Mistake. And the hits keep on coming and the beat goes on. And we're 3.5 hours in and we're still on your Smartway Dalton Behring Hydraulic. Fifth quarter fan reaction, the place where you're the star. Smartway, go smartway.net. 8416 Kingston Pike near Bearden High School. And everything you need for your home. Everything for your home store where you pay your way. Furniture, appliances, electronics, cell phones, even offer tires now. And on cell phones, they have a full array of smartphones. Samsung, LG, Blue, even iPhones available. Best part, if you can't afford one of the hot, very expensive smartphones or even the iPhone, lease purchase agreement available there. They got you. Florida State tonight defeats Florida 27-2. Jerry, 27-2. Oklahoma going to the fourth quarter on top of Oklahoma State 51-23. Arizona State and Rich Rod on top. Is he at Arizona or Arizona State? I always get that confused, Jerry.
Wildcats.
Arizona State tonight leading 24-3 against Cal. And let's see. What else is going on tonight? New Mexico over Air Force, 14-7. Second quarter there. San Diego State, Nevada, 7-6. And my Temple boys tonight, congratulations to my Temple boys, victorious. But, of course, what we're all talking about, Tennessee hangs 53 on Vandy and makes them like it. Made them like it. And continue to score with the special teams. Jerry, when's the last time, somebody asked, and then we'll go back to the phones. When's the last time you've seen Tennessee's special teams this good?
Oh, wow.
Been a long time.
I got to think here in a five-year statement. I don't remember probably most previous 5 years. I do remember there was a stretch in there when early on in my career at Tennessee, Dale Carter was a punt returner. You also had Adnan as a backup and kickoff returner. And as a backup, you had Carl Pickens. So those guys were spelling each other. I know just before I came to campus, you know, you had Thomas Woods, you had Carl Pickens, and then, you know, if you go back, I'm trying to remember even earlier than that.
I'm talking about the special teams with the punter, the kicker, the coverage, and scoring touchdowns with your return games was all there. I don't ever remember a time in the 30 or so years I've been around here that it's been this good.
Well, I'll tell you what. I wouldn't trade anybody for John Bexford, Tom Hutton, and those returners at both punt returner and kickoff returner there. I'd say those 90-91 teams. Give me Tom Hutton. Give me John Bexford. Give me a Carl Pickens.
Pretty good back then.
Dale Carter. Yes, sir.
Pretty good back then. Let's go back to the phones. 865-200-5402. Very good right now, though. Very good right now. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome. Be like arguing over what supermodel's prettier. They're both pretty, pretty as far as I'm concerned. Let's go back to our phones. Smartway, Dalton Behring Hydraulic, Tennessee basketball. What sport is this? Oh, it's your fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello.
Hey, Tony, it's Travis.
Hey, welcome in, man.
One thing on Willie T's call, vodka Red Bull is a hell of a thing.
Willie T was fired up tonight.
Well, he needs to take about 6 to 10 hours, depending on his metabolism, before going back out on that FedEx route. So.
Interesting.
All right. So as far as tonight's game and the, you know, the general feeling for the season thus far, I understand that we didn't win Florida, Oklahoma, or Alabama. I got that. All right. But we put the teams that need to be put in their place, we put them in their place. And when's the last time that we could all sit here and go, yeah, we're just better than Vandy, South Carolina, Kentucky, even now Missouri. And it's like, we're better and we're going to stay better for the foreseeable future than any of those teams.
Yes, and there has been a lapping.
People want to jump ahead and start talking about, well, why didn't you beat Florida? Well, first you got to make yourself better than South Carolina, Missouri, Kentucky, and Vandy. Then the next step is to try to compete for winning your division. But people forget, I think, how bad this team was when Butch took this thing over 3 years ago. Like, we were bad. Like, all-time bad.
Bad.
Like, in the history of our program, bad.
Like, bottom-out bad.
Yeah, like, as bad as we've ever been in the history of Tennessee football. So, we've now come back to establishing that we are just flat-out better than you when it comes to the teams that we should be better than you. And that was the first step. And doing that, breaking the Georgia streak, which I live just north of Atlanta, and my wife went to UGA, so that game has a special meaning to me every year, and I'm so happy to note that for the first time since we've been married, and we have three kids, Tony, for the first time we've been married, we beat Georgia.
Now, do you taunt your wife after that game? How does that work?
So I was actually at my sister-in-law's house in Athens because they just had a baby. And I watched it in their house with all of her family who all went to Georgia. And I'm the only Tennessee guy. And I promised I would keep my shirt on the entire game, which I did. I did. But I did run around their house and then proceeded to run around their neighborhood singing Rocky Top at the top of my lungs after that game.
You gotta get that baby some kind of Rocky Top. You gotta infiltrate that house somehow and see if you can swing that baby.
Oh well, I've got my three kids singing Rocky Top. She tries to get them to bark at like dogs, which is ridiculous in every possible way.
Yes,
but I've got them singing Rocky Top. So don't worry, I'm raising them right down here.
There you go.
As far as general college football is concerned, I guess just going back to my previous thing, I feel great about this season, thinking about what it means moving forward. Now that we've established ourselves back where Tennessee football should be in the echelon that Tennessee football belongs in, now we can proceed to try to do the things that Tennessee football strives to do every year. But first, we had to put ourselves back up there, and we just weren't 3 years ago, and we are now. So it's nice to see that we're back. If you didn't watch, and I'm not talking to you specifically, but anybody who's listening, if anybody who was listening did not watch that Stanford-Notre Dame game today, that was the best football game I've seen in a long time.
5,000% agree. Describe for people who missed the last two minutes of that game, what happened in that game, because that was great football.
Oh, it was just insanity for 60 minutes. I mean, forget the last 2 minutes. I mean, it was just back and forth, one possession, which way other team would take the lead, come back, score, another team takes the lead. You must have had 7 or 8 lead changes in that game, and it was just insane. And then, you know, Notre Dame goes down and gets the, what they think to be the game-winning score there to go up 36-35 and kick it off to Stanford. They get a face mask penalty on when Stanford fumbles the football. It's called against Notre Dame, which gives Stanford the ability to keep a hold of the football, drives them down. Hogan, the quarterback for Stanford, would just like complete, just metal, just throws the ball downfield, complete, and then they kick the game-winning 47-yard field goal with no time on the clock. It's just an insane football game to watch. So many big plays, so many huge passes, ridiculous runs. It was a really incredibly fun game to watch on television.
Two traditional teams. Jerry, you called that game, too. You've liked Stanford for a while, Jerry.
Yeah. Jim Harbaugh, David Shaw, you know, those guys, to me, what they do, what I like is they can play any style at any moment, just depending on the nature of the game at the time. We'll see tight ends play attached to the line of scrimmage, with their hand in the dirt, you know, coming down on a combo block and then blowing up a linebacker up. You will see a fullback, you know, who's hammering, 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 and all of a sudden they come out into the flat. They're also part of the passing game. And hey, if they need to come back, they're down two scores, then they can do what, you know, like some of these teams like Tennessee, Texas A&M do. They can spread you out, play 11 personnel, and just sling it all over the field. So I like the fact that they're still using all the different, dimensions of the game. It's still kind of a cool thing to see, in my opinion.
Which was exactly what they did tonight, because they got the ball up the field in four plays for that field goal attempt. That's what was incredible about it.
Yeah, they had like 25 seconds on the clock.
Incredible!
They were on their own 30-yard line. Now, I think they had all three of the timeouts, so that helps. But, yeah, it's still an incredible play. And you're right, Jerry, the amount of formations that Stanton runs. I mean, Tennessee pretty much spends the entire game in three wide receivers, a tight end, and a running back. And Stanford is just all over the field. I mean, they'll go five wide. They'll come back. They'll put three tight ends in. They'll go three tight ends and spread them all out. It's just the insane number of formations that they run in that offense. It's an incredibly fun offense to watch. And I wish it worked better for my Indianapolis Colts, which are trying to run that offense, but not doing as well with it currently, unfortunately.
Your Colts might have Saban as your coach next year.
Oh, God. That would be a conflict of interest.
Huh?
Conflict of interest.
You could get him out of here, though. You could do a really good thing for us. Think about
that. I don't
that.
Know. I couldn't. I don't know what I'd do. I don't know. I would be a seriously conflicted individual. But
you could do us a solid, man.
I'd have to go back and check my mental toughness. I don't know what I'd be able to pull together at that point.
Well, it'd be like Chip Kelly in Philly, who I despise.
I think about Chip Kelly at LSU.
They could have him.
You think he'd win a few football games under LSU?
I don't know if his act would work in this league. I don't know if pure finesse football.
Really? With all the athletes he could get down there at Louisiana State, you don't think he could run the football and pass it at will against any
game? I don't know.
LSU's problem's never been players.
That's true.
It's been scheme offensively. It's just been so boring and so bland.
They look like Jerry Colquitt would want an offense to look, you know?
they do have a fullback.
Thank you.
I'll tell you what, on you.
Thank you.
Guy,
good call.
You know, I've chatted with Tony offline about the Chip Kelly thing. Go back and look at their history of what's happened here in the NFL, where most teams, the talent is comparable, so not going to have a speed advantage, not going to have a size advantage. It really does come down to X's and O's. I feel like that's what would happen to him, and especially if you go to LSU in that SEC West. Also, go back and look at the times when they did play on a big stage in a meaningful game against top flight teams from the South. I mean, they weren't running up the score on anybody. In fact, I mean, they got their behind beaten in, or the head beaten in twice. One time against LSU, they played in Jerry World. I think it was the first game of the season. They opened it up and they got killed. That was with Mariota.
Killed.
Go back to the, yeah, killed. And then the Auburn game in the championship game. So to me, that more is what you see consistently. And you see it with Texas A&M as well. You know, to me, just, man, there are too many athletes on defense, you know, to play that style, over the course of a season and do what he did at Oregon. To me, at Oregon, if you're Oregon, you're USC, sometimes UCLA, and Stanford. Outside of that, to me, the rest of those teams, man, athletically, they just don't have the horses to run with in Oregon. But, you know, when the talent is more comparable, I feel like I see him as less effective that way.
Smartway online, gosmartway.net. Dalton Behring Hydraulics online at daltonhydraulics.com. I also want to remind you, Tennessee Sports Medicine Group online, 10sportsmed.com. Check out and support our sponsors as we get ready to go back to our phones. 865-200-5402. We do have a score update. Florida State defeats Florida tonight 27-2. What we didn't tell you, I got a text from Matt Nelson earlier, Jerry. Score update, Vernon Maxwell hit an 18-footer with time expiring. to get the Florida Gators on the scoreboard, and they lose 27-2 tonight. Let's go back to the phones, and let's get our next call in. Hello, and welcome in.
Hey, Tony B, TC in Athens.
Hey, brother, welcome in.
How you doing, my man?
Blessed to be here.
It's good to be here, man. I got to make it to 5 out of 7 games this year, all the way up from Athens, Georgia. Today I enjoyed it with my nephew, who is getting ready to graduate from college, and got to spend some time with him, and don't get to do that a whole lot. We had a great game day experience, and just laid the wood to Vanderbilt. So, man, what an awesome day.
Great day. So are you back yet? Are you back in terra firma?
No, man. I'm spending the night tonight and then head back tomorrow.
Oh, that's sweet, man. That's great. Yeah. We're glad to have you, brother.
Yeah, man. So I thought I'd call in, just talk a little bit about the season. And before the season started, my prediction was 8-4. But we kind of got there in a way that it still leaves a little bit of a sour taste, but we got to what I expected. And I just think it all comes down to that one stinking game, and it's the Florida game. And had the loss come to anybody else, I think we would have counted this season as so much more of a success at 8-4, all across the fan base. I really do. I don't know what it is about. I guess it's just the 11 years, man. That one game leaves such a sour taste, doesn't it?
My thing is, again, I said before the season, for people that were saying 8-4, would you take 7-5 with a win over the Gators? And people said no. I'm going to ask Monday on the show, Monday or Tuesday. No, I'm serious. I'm serious. It's a great question. We'll subtract a win. See, people thought that was a really stupid topic back in the summer. They don't think that's a stupid topic right now.
You went to church tomorrow
and asked your friends. You ask your friends or you ask your Tennessee fan friends and you said, hey, I ask you something I heard Crazy Basilio say the other day. Would you trade me that 8-4 season for a 7-5 season if we would have finished the deal at Florida? I'm going to tell you what my answer is. You better believe it. That's my answer. Now, you can say what you want to say about me, but that loss lingers. And if you could have ended that, I would have traded you, say, the Missouri game and, I don't know, South Carolina. I don't care. I'd give you those two if you gave me the Florida game. I'd trade you right now.
I think you're right, man. And I think it, too, it just probably leaves a little bit of a sour taste knowing that we ought to be the ones in Atlanta next week.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
The bottom line is this. This season, as far as the season, you know, obviously we got the bowl game coming up, but as far as the season, this season is now complete. It is what it is. Mm-hmm. And we won a game that I'm so excited we won and I've had so much fun with, and I will continue having fun with that win over Georgia. That has just been awesome living there in Athens, Georgia, and I will continue to have a blast with that win.
You will taunt till next year, and then you'll taunt them again, because there's no way with what they have a quarterback they're beating this Tennessee team. And this Jacob Eason, if they get him, could be the be-all and end-all, but there's no way in the world a true freshman quarterback is going to beat that Tennessee defense next year. No way. Not going to happen.
Yeah. No, it's not. You're exactly right. So they will lose again to the Vols next year, no doubt in my mind. So we got that, and that was a big monkey off the back. I'm excited about that.
Yep.
But the bottom line is, next year, there are no excuses. There is none of
this.
Well, we're a young team.
Agreed.
Well, Josh Dobbs can't throw the ball well, or Josh Dobbs doesn't, you know. No, he's a senior, period. He will carry this team. We are a senior and junior-led team next year.
Yep.
I don't want to hear a single excuse that if we're not in Atlanta next year, there are no excuses.
Sinclair said it best. The coordinators and the coaches next year are the worry. That's the worry. And that's true. It's because I know that the material's there. Eyeball test wise, Jerry, I look on the field and I say the material's there.
That's exactly right. Yeah, I tell you what, too. Defensively, I think we're missing one. Now, I'm not a one-piece guy. Hey, if we just had this, that we'd be. But I feel like defensively, they are so close. But there's one position I feel like that I'm not seeing what I want to see is they need, again, go to JUCO. Get you a guy who can step on the field immediately and get you 10 sacks. You need a Chuck Smith out there. You need a Leonard Little out there. I like the Barnett kid as an every down defensive end, a guy whose body, but you know, when he hits the league, by the time his rookie or first year in the league, he'll be a 285-90 pound guy. Right now, go get you a guy from JUCO that's about 260, about 6'3", 6'4", just a tremendous athlete and is a walking sack. When you add that element to what, to a Barnett opposite him, some of these guys, that now we have in the middle, the Khalil McKenzie, the, Tuttle kid, when you add that element, now that means that, our maturing secondary, guess what? Hey, it don't matter because you can get you a sack, you can get the defense off the field.
Gonna be interesting.
When you can get a defense off the field at your choosing, now you got a chance to play in Atlanta. And I feel like, that might be one of those pieces, man. If you can find one out there somewhere and come and hit campus immediately and make that impact, that defense can be ferocious, especially now that we got some beef up front, right there in the middle.
And the only other thing I want to add to that, Tony B, is I don't want them to create an excuse either, these coaches. And what I mean by that is they've almost created an excuse in the last year or two, the way they've I'm just going to say it the way it is, the way they've ran off some of our, four stars in the off season. And so, we need every four star that's on this team. And we don't need them running them off. So I don't want to see our coaches creating excuses either in this off season. Does that make sense?
Unbelievable. Thank you, my friend.
Later.
There are reports out there now, Joe Shod saying public pressure and sentiment, key factors in decision to keep Les Miles, according to high-ranking source involved in the decision. Joe Oliva just said a few moments ago, Les Miles is our football coach and will continue to be our football coach. You, Joe Oliva, are a damn embarrassment. You are a damn embarrassment. He ought to be fired. That's the guy I'll be terminated. Let me tell you something that you don't appreciate until you dig a little deeper. People think that because Joe Oliva has that job, that he is some bright guy. That happened under his watch, and he's not a bright guy. He should be terminated now. That's how that should work. He lost. That is some chicken bleep, what they did to Les Miles. There's a guy with an 80% winning percentage, who was the number one recruiting class in the country. Now, what is your measure of healthier program? And because they beat somebody tonight, a Texas A&M team, it can't get out of their own way. And then the public pressure. I mean, what the hell is that? The big mistake that we make is we think because that guy gets that hat and he wears that hat and he has that title, that you think he's a smart guy. Let me tell you something. A lot of these people are not real smart. A lot of them can't walk and chew gum at the same time. And there's not a lot of common sense. That is so poorly handled. So poorly handled. And like Cinco said, now what are you going to do? You're going to, now if you're Les Miles, you're going to walk in every kid's living room And how do you recruit against that, Jerry? They're going to say to you, you're marked. You're marked. I mean, they might as well have gone to the old country and given him a Sicilian hug, where they would take you. You know what a Sicilian hug is, Jerry? That's where they take you in the old country. Like if I walked up to you in the old country, Jerry, and I saw you there, my brother, and I walked up to you and I took a little X-Acto knife and I carved my initials right on your shoulder, and I marked you, Jerry, for death. NWO style, Jerry. Your thoughts on that?
Well, first of all, Tony, you know my people and your people are closely related, don't you? The Mycenaeans and Africans.
Interesting. Back to the phones we go. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
TV.
Yes, sir.
This Willie T, man.
Oh, Willie T's back with us. Well, we usually have a one. Now, I'm going to say this, Willie. Generally, it's a one call per customer per show, but because you're Willie T.
I understand.
And let me ask you this, Willie. I got to ask you something.
Okay.
Because me and you are going to walk over some uncharted ground here.
All right, let's do it.
What would happen next year if Josh Dobbs just got, as a passer, just a little bit better, in your opinion?
Oh my God. If he got just a little bit better, TB, it's unspeakable. Tennessee is back in the hierarchy of college football. ESPN is going to have to start talking about us more because Josh Dobbs could bring us back to championship level. And I just want to say real quick that I apologize for the location error earlier, but I was getting so pumped up, so jacked up, TB, about calling in to you, because I've been listening to you for so long and so pumped up about Tennessee's win today. Oh my gosh. Are you kidding me? We are so close, but I have something else I want to say, if you don't mind. Now, I understand you're an Eagles fan.
Yes.
Well, I have to say that I am a diehard. And when I say diehard, I mean diehard Redskins fan all the way. But that's not what tonight's about. Tonight is about Tennessee. And I just wanted to call back and say, go Vols and go Rebirth of the Volunteers being a leading team in this nation.
I'm declaring 2016. The geophysical, because we have all these, you know, like the year of the lamb, the year of Jerry. What have some of the years been? We've had some of the years of, you know, Jerry, you followed that New World Order stuff.
All I know is, I need my boy 86, man, Brian Hartman, man. He needs to start screening these phone calls after 10:00 p.m. on Saturday.
Hey, no, listen, I'm going to declare this right now. I'm going to declare this right now to my brother here on the air with me, Willie T. I'm going to say this to you, sir. This is going to be, 2016 is going to be the geophysical year of the Volunteer. I want you to get a bumper sticker printed up that says geophysical year of the Volunteer, 2016.
You better believe it, TB. I'm going tomorrow. It's going to be the geophysical year. I guarantee it's going to be that.
Thank you, Willie T. Thank you.
I'll see you later.
Thank you, brother.
Here's what could change.
Do you think Willie T's ever used the term geophysical year in his life before that right there? I'm not even sure what it means. I just heard it, and go ahead. Continue.
Now, we all love Josh Dobbs, don't we? Great kid,
got all this stuff going for him.
Oh, my gosh.
I've seen, especially as of late, man, just, you know, Jalen Hurd, another, you know, these kids are handsome. They got it going on. Great football players, so on and so forth. And all it takes is for them to get hooked up with somebody from the NWO to bring them down, man. Our guy here, he's been struggling all year long.
Tell the people about what's happened now.